Let's pray, Father, right now in Jesus' name. We present this time to you again. God, we thank you for this time of fellowship, sharing the word of God, sharing fellowship and friends, breaking bread together. God, one of the most common things to show forth communion is breaking bread together and eating together. So, God, we thank you for a time of communion with the body of Christ and the saints. How good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity and for the saints to be on one accord, no disunity, no problems, nobody bringing in discord. God, continue to bind the body of Christ together under one bloodline, under the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you pray that we be one, just as you and the Father are one. It's time to see this thing come to pass. Break down racial divisions. Break down divisions between males and females. Break down divisions in households. Break down every division that separates us and bring us on one accord to serve the true and living God. There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Father, one Spirit. And God, we unite under the household of faith and the household of God standing together. We pray for Maisha Hunter, there on the altar before the living God, asking you, God, to release the power into her loins to bring her back up to full stature and full power. There's still a good work that she can do down here. She can bless a lot of folk, God. She can help a lot of people. Some people are MEPs like this in the military, mission essential personnel. She's a mission essential person. God, quicken her, make her alive. Just like Hezekiah, you said, look, I'm going to give you more time, man. You're going to live and not die. The prophet did a 180 and came back and said, God has given you more time because you were broken and contrite. So, God, we stand in the gap and intercede for her life and ask you, God, to move in a supernatural way to do this good work. And we thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, today we're talking about the challenge to change. There is a challenge issue to all of us to change. Whatever you were, whatever you used to be, whatever you're going to be tomorrow, you still got to keep changing. Don't ever settle for the same. Change. You can always learn a new thing. Did you not know that you're capable if you lived long enough to read every book on earth? You know, the human mind is something else. You could read forever and take in all the knowledge in every book on earth if you could live that long. You know, you could keep going back to college over and over again and get every degree that every college on earth offers. Now look at the capacity of the human mind. You can always keep learning something new. I mean, Omar hadn't always played his piano. He just been practicing on his own, learning to play it, and he's getting better and better. I think he plays a trumpet. You know, that's what he's skilled in, but he took on the keyboard because the human mind is able to do what? Access more information, more knowledge, and become astute in several areas. So never just become dormant where you just settle for where you are. I mean, keep going. I pointed out Erica the other day and going to medical school. She'll tell you, man, I think the first year or so, she was thinking like, man, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can make this, man. You know. But see, if she stuck with it, stayed in it, and came out the other side successfully. So the human mind can adapt and it can change and take on anything. I always try to read 3 books a year. That's my own personal goal. Because I believe reading is a lost art. We need to take on information, learn things, know things. Even if you meet somebody, if you're unmarried, you meet a person. You want to meet somebody that's going to add something to you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, somebody that's a conversationalist, not just sitting across the dinner table and just looking at you. You know, like Gomer Powell or somebody. You know what I'm saying? You want to, you know, an interesting person. Somebody that knows some things that can tell you something you didn't know. Sure. You know, somebody you can conversate with and have a relationship with. You should be an evolving person all through this life because you're a spirit and you cannot become what you're meant to be on earth. So you're always growing. You're always evolving. I mean, take on new things. Go back to school. Learn something else. Learn how to sew. Learn how to make your own drapes. You know what I'm saying? Instead of buying them, You know, if you got time, learn how to make your own drapes. You don't know how to cook? Go to cooking school. I mean, it's always something you can do to challenge your mind, because what you don't use, you lose. You should always be progressing in God. If you take into account the fact that God is eternal with no beginning and no ending, God is an eternal sea of thought. I mean, you could ask God questions forever and still never get to the end of the questions, because he's an eternal sea of thought. An eternal mind. Think about an eternal mind with no beginning and no ending. See, our minds have to shut down and say, I can't fathom that. There had to be a time when nobody was around but God. He was just in existence. And God sits on the throne, and I always ask the question, has the throne always been there, or did he make the throne? You know what I'm saying? You start thinking about stuff like, you know, an eternal being, you had to make the throne, or was the throne that, were you standing before you made the throne? What? Exactly. And your mind just drops out. Eternally, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I mean, in the beginning was the Word was God. God's eternal. So that tells us, as we begin to grow in grace, you should be moving systematically from a thinking process of concretes to abstracts. In other words, that's what delivers you from the law and religion and all the things that were binding you. As your mind becomes more and more abstract, the shackles and chains of this life begin to break. Because shackles and chains can't hold an abstract mind, because you begin to basically evaporate. The mind becomes abstract. And I can tell you some things about church that most church people don't realize and don't know. And those things are what is what's going to govern us from here on out. And you got to change the way you think about church and what you perceive church to be, to walk in what I'm going to tell you. Because if you don't, you'll be chained to religion and what they've defined church as, and you'll think that's valid when it's not. So you got to have your mind become abstract. I'll give it for instance about what I'm saying. Did you know that God deals with situations as they arise with an abstract mind, as he imparts it to the church? In other words, everything in the Bible is true, but everything in the Bible is not applicable in every situation. God is a living God, so he has to get in touch with somebody to know what to do about a particular situation in front of you. So therefore, people come to me sometimes and ask me something about the Bible, and I'll tell them, I know the Bible says that, but that's not what we're going to do. Now I'm a blasphemer. I'm a cotton-picking blasphemer. You are disregarding the Word of God. See, this right here is an abstract realm of thinking that the carnal mind cannot accept, because they're bound by what? The letter. They're bound by the letter. They don't understand what the letter is given for. Why is the Bible given to us? What's the purpose of the Bible? It's a change agent. The Bible is given to you to change you into the image reflected in the Bible. The Bible says you're looking in a mirror and you're changed from glory to glory into what you're looking at. It's given to change us so we can personally interact with God now, and he can talk to you and me. See, if that doesn't happen, you'll be stuck in the letter, and people will preach the letter to you, and you'll be bound by legalistically trying to measure up to what they're telling you from the letter. This is so far removed from church that most people will see me as a cult teacher for saying this, but this is absolutely true. You ever seen Paul say, the Lord didn't address this, but I'm addressing it? And I believe I have good standing with God, and I have the ability to address it because of who, what he's made me. I've been anointed to address it. See, you got to have the power. He's given the keys of the kingdom to you. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So church authority has to be reestablished with the elders in place and the deacons to make the call about situations. We got to have the authority that has been given to us, delegated authority, to make the call. And every local assembly does not have to necessarily be governed the same. There are customs that are germane to some places that might not be applicable here, but they acknowledge the custom. If we went to a place like India or someplace like that in the Middle East, and we went into a Christian church where the custom is for the women to wear veils, well, all the women just put on veils and let's go in here. It's not binding you. Why? Because you're free. But you are doing what? You're paying tribute to their local custom. It don't do a thing to you. You don't go in the, well, I'm not under the law. I'm not wearing a veil. No, man. Just put the veil on. It ain't no big deal. You're not bound because you're free. You can't bind a free man with an abstract mind. So you got to change primarily what in you? The way you think. You've got to let the Holy Ghost change the way you think. If you look at the world at large, you'll find a bunch of conformists, and you see clones. They act exactly the same. They wear the same stuff. Everything is cloned in order to fit in. You very rarely find a rugged individualist, somebody that can be themselves, and they dress like they dress. I got my own style. I do what I do because I'm me, and I'm not trying to fit into anything. These folks find out the latest fashion trend, and then they conform to it. That's pitiful, man, because in doing that, you lose what? Your identity. I lose my own personal identity. Church is not designed for you to lose your identity. You got to be you right on through the process. You don't make anything the standard. What you do is what you do, and it's fine. You know, if you wear natural hair, praise God, that's good. If another woman doesn't want to wear natural hair, that's her. I mean, you don't make natural hair or not having natural hair the standard because I don't do it. See, that's the concrete mind. You see what I'm saying? It'll try to make everybody conform to what you do. So the gospel is both generic and applicable to everybody. And then when the Holy Ghost comes on you, he'll begin to individualize what he has for you to do, for you to carry out your assigned purpose in the kingdom of God. See, nobody can do what you can do. Your body is designed with different members, and every member has a designated thing that it does. That's the way the body of Christ is. We're not trying to create clones. We're trying to get you to abstract thinking. I'll say that again. We're not trying to make you into a clone. We're trying to preach you into abstract thinking so your mind is free flowing so the Holy Ghost can get to you. See, because none of us would consider going to some God-forsaken place to preach the gospel unless you got an abstract mind. God can lead you anywhere then because you have no boundaries, no restrictions. See, you don't want to be a chained up mind, because the blessing a lot of times will be found in the unfamiliar place. If you go there, the blessing is awaiting you. See, where God leads you, he feeds you. Where he directs you, he'll bless you, because that's where the blessing is. You know, name of the leper was going to keep the leprosy until he got down to the Jordan River and dipped in it 7 times. He had to obey the leading of that prophet in order to get the blessing. So we're restricted with concrete minds that are living up to other people's standards. You see what I'm saying? You get in the church and you try to conform to the standards of the church. That might restrict you because you're not called to walk that out. You got to be an individual that can walk in the midst of all these diverse people, but never lose or leave your individuality. You got to still be you. And anybody trying to rob that from you came from the devil. The devil is a sinister conformist. He has no creativity. He's bound and chained in his mind, and he's limited. You want to have your mind expand its borders, take on new challenges and explore new things. I mean, go to Europe, go to Italy, go to France, you know, see what's in Germany. Go to South America, go to the Caribbean, look around. Why should you sit in a 3-block area your whole life and just confined in your mind thinking you can't do anything? You know, you meet people in life that try to confine you like that and bind you and tell you what you can't do. And they're shocked that you came down here. Where you going? Florida. Girl, you don't know nothing about no Florida. Just crazy. Crazy. They'll bind you. See your little post on, you in Florida? You at that hotel? Girl, you got no business down there. You know, just crazy. It's folks like that. You gotta get with the Lord. Let the Lord expand your mind, and you'll be amazed at what you can do, what you can accomplish, and how much stuff he's put in you. God has put gifts in you with like buried treasure, but you gotta break out of the limitations in order to experience these treasures. Now, when we present messages, you gotta understand the source of power. When you're gonna get people powered up, you gotta deal with the same type of elements that will involve producing power from electrical instrumentation. In other words, that mixing board, these speakers, all the lights here, cannot be powered up with just a positive current. Did you know that? Every battery has a what? A negative and a positive. You cannot get power if you just got positive or negative. You got to have a negative and positive that's interacting. So with God, for you to be powered up, you got to deal with negatives and positives. You just can't. If you just ate sugar all the time, you're going to die. You're going to become diabetic and go into a coma and die. So God has to deal with negatives and positives. Church folk normally are either or, but not both. They'll be positive, 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 positive. You say anything negative, then it's the Lord right there. See, that's negativity. Or if they're negative, 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 like what you can't do and cursing you and the devil, you ain't nothing but the devil, you're full of the devil, and you bring something positive. See, that's possibility thinking and positivity. That ain't the Lord, that's New Age. See, church folks' minds have been jacked up. But the fact of the matter is you need the negatives to deconstruct the old man and the positives to build up the new man. That makes perfect sense. The negatives are searching through you to deconstruct you and release you from your life of sin. And then the positives build up the new man so you can live this new life. You got to have both going on. And God sends you through what we see happening every year of every generation and every decade this happens. What do you go through every year? Seasons. Spring, fall, winter, summer. You go through seasons. So your life is going to cycle through what? Seasons. It's going to be times of plenty and fruitfulness, and you're going to be happy and thinking, I've made it. I'm totally free. I have nothing wrong with me. I'm living in utopia. And guess what? That'll be true for a season. But then guess what's going to happen? The Holy Ghost is going to cut back in again and begin to deal with something else to get rid of it. And you're going to go through the winter and the fall. Spring and summer was nice, man. But now you got to go through a little more surgery because the soul is vast. It's a vast arena. You don't know what the nuances are in your own soul that may be binding you. So you can get into a mindset whereby you can compartmentalize something that you put back over here and you even forgot about it, but it's still affecting you and you just don't know it. But guess who don't forget about it? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost knows everything about everybody and he knows where everything is in everybody. So you'll go through cycles and seasons of change and you'll be getting better, but sometimes you got to be made worse to get better. If you got some kind of disease, now we might have to go in here and surgically remove all that crud and cut this thing out and cut you open and stitch you up. And you might have to be hospitalized for like 3 months or something because we had to do some deep radical surgery. But you give it time, it'll heal back up and you'll be better. So you got to go through, you got to be submitted to the knife. You got to commit and submit to the knife. Don't hold back your body, because when you put your body on the altar for sacrifice, you got to be cut open and we got to begin to dissect you and take out the cancerous mess and all the crud and all the infection, patch you back up. He'll pour in a little healing balm. He's the healing balm. He's the balm of Gilead. Heal you back up and send you on your way. So don't draw back. The Bible says if any man draws back, God's soul will have no pleasure in him because he's working on us. We're a house under construction. Don't get depressed. Don't get downtrodden and lowly because you're going through. Don't get depressed and downtrodden if you stumble and fall. He said, though you fall, you get back up again. You keep moving. You say, look, I got to make it. I fail. I'm getting back up. I'm repenting. But I don't plan to keep doing this and cycling through this the same old way. If you want to change an outcome, you got to change the input in what you're doing. You can't keep doing the same thing looking for a different outcome. See, some people you got to forsake. You got to know the ones that are detrimental to you and leave them. We're talking about change. If the body of Christ is going to win this war, we've got to change tactics. What we've been doing is not working. Now, everybody sitting here and by live stream got enough sense to know that this junk ain't working. Why keep doing it? Why keep going to church? Man, you've been most of y'all have been preached at so much, you've probably been preached into a coma. You know what I'm saying? You done heard so many sermons. You've been to Bible studies. You've been to revivals. You've been to shut-ins, convocations, tent meetings. I mean, you've been in auditoriums, theaters. You've been everywhere. And still, this mess is getting worse and worse out here. Change has got to take place. Why does change have to take place? Because we're seeking for the Holy Ghost to flow over the body of Christ. And I'm going to challenge you today to change and show you what changes need to be made. And this is real. All right. So challenge to change. What I want you to do is everybody from the ages of 40 to, let's say, 17, stand up. 40 to 17, if you're in that age group, 40 to 17. Now look at these people now. These are people that are basically the new foundation of the new move of God. You know, if you're older than 40, you know, you might be what I call a bridge person. You know what a bridge person is? A bridge person came out of Egypt, experienced the wilderness while these people were being born in the wilderness. So you know all about what? Huh? Slavery. See, you know what's happened to people that are young black people? They don't know anything about the civil rights movement and hard times. That's what's wrong with them. That's been expunged from their minds. So they're just out here acting a fool and crazy because they don't have an appreciation for what it took to get them where they are. So if you know where you came from, you have an idea about where you need to go. People that are young have had college educations handed to them on a silver platter. You can go to an HBCU with a 1.5 grade point average or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And what do? Drop out, spit on it, and don't care nothing about it. Hand it to them on a silver platter. I was talking to Chandria the other day. I said, you know what? In America, a college education will change your outcome. I don't care what you say. 7 1/4 an hour. Hey, man, that doesn't even compare to $65,000 a year. You see what I'm saying? you could come out of college, become a school teacher and make $45,000, $50,000 a year. An education will change your personal outcome. Working two jobs at 7 1/4, working 10, 12, 15 hours a day like a slave, and you saying, hey man, why don't you just go to school? That ain't for everybody. Well, you just gonna stay a slave, man. Can you take a vacation? I gotta pay my rent. Let's go out to dinner. I gotta pay my house note. I gotta pay my car note. I gotta pay my insurance. I gotta pay. Man, can you do anything? Can you take a break? We're going on a cruise, bro. I can't go, man. Can't go. I gotta be at work. Can you get off? My boss won't let me off. You see what I'm saying? You put your head in stocks and bind yourself when the thing has been handed to us on a silver platter. The devil infused all this dumb junk into the community. Now everybody twerking, listening to all these stupid singers and all this junk, and they're impugning and undermining their own lives, trying to have one thing instead of a disciplined life to advance. You know what that is? Fun. I just want to have some fun. Fun don't do it, man. You need something more than fun in life. So as I talk to some of these people, Jason, how old are you, Jason? 34. What do you do for a living?
Art director.
Art director?
Mm-hmm.
You had to go to school for that?
Yeah.
How long?
About 4 years.
4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Art director, sacrifice, right? That's what it takes. Ashley, what do you do?
Right now I'm working at the CDC.
What's your educational background? Oh, that's long. She majored in biology and a master in what? Now say it out. Say it into the microphone.
Public health with a concentration in epidemiology.
Public health with a concentration in epidemiology. But see what I'm saying? I mean, what's she going to marry? A hip-hop dude from the hood? Do you see what I'm saying? Now, what I'm trying to show you is, because of change and people that are progressing, you know what's happening? Let's use the black community as an example. There's a fork in the road. You got a fork in the road where some black people won't be able to associate with other black people. And you won't be trying to be funny or better than nobody, but certain mindsets will drag you down. I'm being honest, man. Let's stop kidding ourselves. And these people, these young people are coming on board and doing things. It was people sitting next to them in class that had exactly the same opportunity. But guess what? They made a willful choice not to take advantage of them. Marty, what do you do?
Camera assistant.
Camera assistant?
And television.
Television, camera assistant. See, that's all technical training. We're going to need cameras as we roll ahead. We're going to get him from wherever he is and get him down here. He don't know it yet, but we got to use some cameras as we broadcast live. And Maya, you do the same thing, right? I mean, you guys do TV shows. What kind of TV shows you work on?
He's on Blue Bloods. I'm on this new TV show for TBS. Glass OG.
Okay, Blue Bloods and TBS. So these folks, see, y'all think you don't have no famous folk around you. These folks be on TV and everything. But see, I'm saying all of this not to say people are better than each other. What I'm trying to get to is, why not maximize your potential? Why settle for the backseat of the bus when you can go and do anything anybody else is doing? If you just cut off the dumb, the crazy, the weirdos, and get on with living. Why limit yourself? I mean, you got an allotted time to be down here. Y'all can sit down. We got an allotted time to be down here. So why not enjoy life and not just live under the burdens of life? You know where I'm coming from? I mean, if all your girlfriends going down to Cancun for a week, why should you always be not able to go?
You can't even take a break. You can't even go and enjoy something. Go to the beach with your friends, or just go out to dinner, or just go shopping. You go shopping with them, they're buying things and you can't get a thing. You buying a Tootsie Pop and everybody else, buy, you know. You see where I'm coming from? We got to have some changes made, and I'm trying to bridge across to church. Church is not maximizing the potential that God gave us because our minds are limited by the old church paradigm. So I know where the church came from. Those of us that have been around for a while, we've seen all this crazy stuff in church, and it's time to data dump that stuff and present a new church order to a new kind of people that were born in the wilderness. Because younger people have receptive minds, and they're not going to settle for the status quo. That's why a lot of them don't even come to church, because they see the hypocrisy, they see the deadness, they see the uselessness of it. So we got to change, we got to grow without forsaking the foundations of God, and let God show us what he's doing right now in the 21st century to achieve his purposes. So you need new church leadership for a new church order. That's what's missing. We got to raise up the guys born in the wilderness so that they can now govern in the promised land. The Egyptian minds of the slaves don't translate to the promised land. So you see how God let all of them die circling in the wilderness, until that old dead mindset was extinguished and we can move into the promised land with new fresh minds. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton can't get you there, buddy. Can't do it. Keeping it real and a rainbow coalition ain't gonna make it over here, man. Because you know what they centrally focus on, like John Lewis does, the hurts of the past. What they did to me. I remember when we walked on this bridge in Salem, you know, down here in Alabama, and we came over in Selma, and we went across the bridge, and they had water hoses on us, and they beat us, and we were bleeding and walking, and we gonna overcome. Now look, man, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives unto death. Stop blaming the white man, the white man, the white man, the white man, the white man. The white man don't live next door to you. He didn't steal your TV. You see how crazy that is? I mean, think about what the white man didn't rape your sister. The white man ain't selling the dope down on the corner. The white man, that's a cop out. You know why it's a cop out? Because black people have trillions of dollars at their disposal that are just thrown away on junk. Because the minds have been trained to go down to the concert to see Jay-Z, to buy a bag of dope, go to the strip joint and throw it up, watch it fall down like Rihanna says. Come on, man. Beautiful black girls out there stripping, thinking that's making them somebody, but you know they dropped out of the 10th grade, got no education, got nothing in life, and all they can do is strip. Now they had a couple of kids by a pimp or a player, and my kids got to eat, I got to strip. And you can impugn your whole life by the decisions you make. There's always something new you can do. Always something you can do to advance yourself. I was talking to Chandria. Chandria played, what instruments do you play?
Flute, clarinet, and piano.
Flute, clarinet, piano, and she sings. She's the mother to our grandkids. She does all this stuff, about to get a degree in education. Smart, pretty, on the move, and she shouldn't let anything limit her. I mean, all this untapped potential just sitting there, and all you got to do is let God tap into it and bring it up to the surface. And there's no telling what you might do. You might be able to compose music.
That's right.
Publish music. There's nothing, there's no telling what you're going to do. It's bad to see a wasted life like Whitney Houston. Man, you can find a person in 10 generations can sing like Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston make you cry just humming a tune. And what the devil do? Accessed her life, drained her, crushed her, killed her, and threw her away. With her daughter going right behind her, dying the same way. You know, that's the devil. Because the devil killed her daughter just like he killed her the same way. That's the devil 101, man. That devil is always leaving his fingerprints at the scene of the crime. But see all this waste, man. We're wasting all these folks because the minds are not abstract. They become part of the collective and they conform to the status quo. We got to break out of this thing. I know too many people that's got all these skills. You know, we got an untapped treasure trove in church, and the people are capped off going to the mega fest and never realizing their potential. We want to bypass all that religious junk and tap into the people and raise them up to full potential. I mean, you'll have an army, an unstoppable army that's got untapped potential accessed, and everything is already embedded in the body. We just got to tap into it. We got to find that treasure, bring it to the surface, and watch this thing just take off. It's going to take on its own life because the Holy Ghost knows where the treasure is. He put the treasure in an earthen vessel. We got to bring this thing to the forefront. It's a challenge to change how we do everything. Everything. You got to ask yourself, what have you done with your life? What have you really done with your life? A lot of you sitting here, you put your life on hold because you met the wrong person. If you just hadn't met that dude, you had plans in the eighth grade that you put on hold because you got impugned through what? Your emotions. Your emotions governed you and it stopped your advancement. You had big plans. I was talking to Erica's dad. Erica just finished medical school. She said what made Erica success was we prayed for her. And she's unique. She got a mama and a daddy that's right with her like glue. He sticks on her like glue. Now, very few people got that patriarchal fatherly support back at the house. But he said, we prayed for her, and she had a best friend in school, and both of them vowed to become doctors in high school. And she finished medical school the same time, right? And they finished medical school together. And they didn't go to parties. They didn't hang out. They were known as the nerds and the bookworms. But the person that was calling them a nerd is working at McDonald's at 7 1/4. And she come out of her residency and making $250,000 a year. I mean, I'm going to just go ahead and nerd on out. That's a practical application. But sitting next to her in high school classrooms every day were people who had exactly the same potential, but they squandered it. The decision you make in real time, on the spot, it can affect you for 10 years of your life. Think about what I'm saying now. One word of agreement, one decision, getting in one wrong car with the wrong person, and now you're paralyzed for life after the car wreck. Chandria just had a friend riding a motorcycle. What's he, South Carolina? He's dead tonight. You ever seen these guys zip past you on a motorcycle going 150 miles per hour? All it takes is one slide over one car that didn't see him. And you know, if you hit something going 150 miles per hour and the vehicle stops, you know your body keeps going 150 miles per hour. If you have a head-on collision and you're doing 90 miles per hour, what kills you is the fact that your body keeps going 90 miles per hour, but the car stopped. That's why they made airbags. And airbags can almost kill you when they come out too, because they come out at 200 miles an hour or something like that. A lot of folk been almost had their face scraped off by an airbag. But see, physics says when you set an option in motion, it's going to keep going until you stop it. And if the car stops, and you were traveling in the car at 90 miles per hour, the car stopped, but you didn't. So you keep going 90 miles per hour, and you go right through the windshield, and they try to scrape you up off the concrete somewhere. But that one wrong decision to get in the car with that drunken boob that was high that you rode around with in high school, your friend, that God intervened and didn't let you get killed that night. See, one decision, one place, one time is all it takes to kill you. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. That's why a lot of times you miss appointments. You're just not going that direction because the devil had planned to kill you down that street. So you got to know this, man. God is governing us and watching over us all the time. But he wants us to come to the place where he can actually access the full potential of our lives. Meeting the wrong person, interacting with the wrong peer group can impugn your advancement. So you got to make a decision right here and right now to evaluate everybody around you, and are they a positive or a negative? Are they advancing you and helping you increase and go forward, or are they detrimental to you? You got to make that personal evaluation. I don't care if it's a friend, a family member, a spouse, a mother, a father. What are they adding to you? Are they advancing you? Are they positive for you? Is it some type of an increase being noticed from interacting with them? I mean, you don't want to be around these folk, man. I mean, you can't determine and you can't control another person's mindset and where they're going. I don't care how much you beg and plead and try to get them to see it. Some folks just won't go where you're going. And God gives no impetus in the Bible to hold you up for them. Read the Bible. Whomsoever will, yes, let him come and drink, yes, of the waters that are freely given. God don't take account for nobody else. He deals with you. You can reach your maximum potential. And that ain't being dirty or, I mean, it's a thing out there that tries to make you feel guilty because you're going on with life. You know, you got your little degree. Now you think you're better than everybody else, huh? Now you don't want to associate with nobody because you got your little stinking degree. Don't forget where you came from. Doggone. You were happy. You came in with your lambskin happy. You got your little degree, huh? You ain't better than nobody else from around here now. All of us came up together in the same snake pit. Don't you come around here looking down your nose at nobody, you hear me? You ain't no better than me. I've been working, flipping them burgers for 30 years. I sacrificed for you to make it. Don't you forget your mama. You know, just crazy. Wait a minute. You ever seen that movie, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Sitting at Portier, daddy talking about, I carried that mail bag 30 years for you and you gonna do this to me. You owe me. Sitting at Portier and say, I owe you nothing. You did exactly what you were supposed to. You know how you talk, you know. You did exactly what you were supposed to do. You were my father and I'm gonna do the same thing for my son. I owe you nothing. Don't let people guilt trip you. You know why? The same Jesus is available for them that was available for you. Anybody can be saved. Anybody can walk in resurrection life. Anybody can come to the full potential of their life. In Christ, we live and move and have our being. He holds nothing back from anybody. Why? Because he's no respecter of persons. You guilt trip me because you won't get saved. That's why you gotta forsake all to get your inheritance. I want everything he's got for me. You want to get every morsel, every crumb of what God has for you. But folks get envious. Read the Bible very carefully. The Pharisees crucified Jesus because of envy. They envied the fact that he was the Son of God. And because he was the Son of God, he had a heavy anointing. And they were envious of the anointing because God confirmed what he said with signs following. See, that's what they were envious of. They had religion. They had a bunch of pomp and circumstance. And they had ritualism. But they couldn't do anything about anything. They had no power. That's why they killed him. So what happens? You have to look at your life, see what you've done in life, and you got to be willing to change. Change requires sacrifice. As long as your carnal mind is plugged into the world, you won't sacrifice because you'll become a part of the collective. Romans chapter 8 says what? The carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you got to unplug your mind from the carnal realms. What is a carnal mind? We define it all the time in several different messages. A carnal mind is a mind plugged into the five carnal senses. What you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, your mind is engaged. So your reality is dictated to you through your senses. You'll never reach full potential like that. You'll make adjustments, you'll slow up, you'll do things to deter you from your objective based on what your senses tell you. See, if you see any situations where you've got an exception, that is always going to undo any validity according to knowing what the rule is. What do I mean by that? If you got a person, you got two people born in poverty living in the projects. One becomes a drug pusher who got locked up and got a 20-year sentence. The guy next door to him became a brain surgeon. So the exception nullifies the rule. In other words, the environment means we got to be nothing and we're going to go to jail. All of us go to jail. Well, why is this guy a brain surgeon? The exception just nullified the rule you made. So that means environmental circumstances cannot be the arbiter of truth. Because you get people coming out of all kinds of environments that achieve a lot of great things. So don't tell God you are like you are because of what your mama did to you or what your daddy did to you or how you were brought up. See, all that psychological mumbo jumbo is impugning you and stopping you in your own mind. Because what they're giving you is excuses not to go forward in Christ. When you get into Christ, the game changes. If I have traded my mind in for the mind of Christ, all things are possible to them that believe. See, I can do anything now because Christ in me is working to will and to do of his good pleasure. I changed the playing field. I changed the game because I traded in my broken down, dilapidated, stinking carnal mind. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have the mind of Christ. Change the mind, change the program, change the outcome.
Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus.
The carnal mind is plugged into your senses, and then your environment dictates to you your limitations. You got to break out of that. People go to church and with carnal minds plug into systematic decapitations of themselves because that environment is limiting you. That's why Juanita Bynum can talk down to you because she's taking for granted what? You're limited in your scope. And what she says is validating you and making her into somebody because you're so downtrodden that you need me as the prophetess to lead you. That's garbage. You don't need her. You don't need me. You don't need the Pope. You've got Jesus Christ. You see how crazy this is? We're sitting in church with incapacitated boobs who are afraid to live, trying to live off of you as a leech and wanting you to be crippled the rest of your life so they can siphon from you your resources because they're not able to get it for themselves. They got to use somebody else. And thus, that's the, you see, the essence of witchcraft. I'm incapacitated and a leech, so I got to live off of you, so I tell you to pay your tithe. Creflo Dollar is a leech because the Joker came up with a trick to take these folks' money because he don't want to work. He don't want to get out here and bring these souls in. Bringing in souls is a laborious task. That Joker ain't saving nobody. He just bringing folks into this place and taking their money and then spitting in their face and telling them, you got no faith. Buddy, you got no faith because you took my money. You got that Bentley with my money. You got a $65 million Gulfstream 650 jet with my money. And then gonna tell me I got no faith. Stop getting offended in this. You defend these hirelings. You defend these false prophets. And then call me too dictatorial, too austere. I'm trying to save your soul. I'm trying to say, man, go past me, go past them, go past everybody. Reach the highest heights in God. Man, the sky is the limit. And you know it's higher than the sky because God made the sky. Dog, there's no telling where this thing ends, an eternal God. Who knows how far you can go in this? Who knows how far you can take this thing? Man, while you're down here in human form, you ought to live. You ought to challenge God. Say, God, you know what? I want everything you got. I want the whole, I got the Holy Ghost. I need more. I want more of the Holy Ghost. I want to get the Holy Ghost until the Holy Ghost is blowing my mind, blowing out of my ears. I want the Holy Ghost all around me. I want to be bathed in the Holy Ghost. It's a baptism in the Holy Ghost. Man, that's all encompassing. This thing can be taken to astronomical levels if your mind will become abstract. The limiter is the carnal mind. Everything that has limited your life has taken place in your own mind. One thing I like about my wife, she always trying something new. I tell you, she got every license that Georgia has to offer. Because she always doing something. She's talking about, I'm thinking about going to go into some kind of a medical field next, because you know, medical. I said, dog, girl, you got every license. You got a cosmetology license, a barbering license, an insurance license, a real estate license. You're the broker. You know, a driver's license, a gun license. dog, you'll never stall. Because if something else, something goes down, you just switch over to this. That's what you do it for. You're like, that went under. Okay, do this. You ought to always challenge yourself, man, to grow and go in God. You don't want your mind plugged into this world. When you're plugged into the carnal world with a carnal mind, it'll cause God's kingdom to be ignored. You'll ignore the kingdom of God because you're plugged into this and thinking this is all there is. You ought to get sick of all these Facebook posts about the here and now. What's going on down here? Man, start disregarding that junk because it's plugging your mind into the carnal mind and the carnal life. Get into the Bible. Amen. Let the abstract world of God open up. Yes. Don't. It's not your business what other people do. I'm talking about personally for you. I'm unplugging from the carnality and plugging into the abstract, the Spirit of God, so I can reach my full potential. It's an individual affair that cannot be faked. You have to individually make up your mind that I'm not discussing that junk anymore. The only thing I've tried to put on Facebook now is messages about the ministry and stuff that's germane to spiritual growth. But those discussions about all the other junk, they can have that garbage, man. Let them do that. Let the dead bury the dead. Get on with living. We got to see the foundation set in order again in church, meaning fathers and husbands have to come back to set the standard and the foundation in order. Fathers have one thing in common. All of them have a bride. I mean, they have children, and a husband has a bride. So you deal with the bride of Christ and God's children and church's leaders. Husbands and fathers understand what it is to have a bride and children. And God's family and church is set up as the bride of Christ and the children of God. So you understand how to govern the household of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 says the training ground for governing in the church is to govern your home well. So you see how God did it. He sets up leadership based on training people in the home to transition to church to govern his home. You know, and he can trust people because you have the foundation laid correctly.